Back in here on The Fan, it is Overtime with Jonathan Pito and Daryl Ryder with more on the play calling duties in 20 minutes. I can't believe it. Stefanski gave him up. We talked about it last hour. Odyssey Rewind, go back and listen to that. But now it's time for The Fan Focus. All right, leading us off tonight, Nick and Danny on the play calling change as Ken Dorsey is now the man in charge and Stefanski steps down from a play calling aspect.
There's so many different things with this. I think the idea that it took to get to 1-7 or 1-6 and Deshaun Watson to blow out his Achilles to finally turn play calling over to the guy who you hired to make an offense for Deshaun. Surface level, that does not look like it makes a lick of sense that at any point you could have pulled that ripcord and you waited until Deshaun Watson was out for the rest of the season.
You did that, but I also, the thing here is that I don't know, and we're not going to ever have an answer to this, and it's going to drive me crazy. I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have, because now you're going to be looking, you're going to be watching Ken Dorsey call plays for something that looks entirely different because the quarterback is different. Like, I expect this offense to look so much better this Sunday. I don't know that Ken Dorsey's going to have how much impact at all, because I think Deshaun Watson was not willing to take shots that were like 15 yards down the field. Jameis Winston has a lot of faults as a quarterback, but the one thing you can count on Jameis Winston to do is he's going to sling it. And you couldn't count on Deshaun Watson to do that. They're going to look better, and I don't know that it's going to have anything to do with the play calling change.
Yeah, that'll be the question after the game. If it does look better, it'll be like, well, wait, was that Dorsey? Did Stefanski forget how to do this? It'll be the big question. I think a lot of us are expecting the offense to stink, though. And then Stefanski won't have to sit up at the podium and answer for what essentially is Ken Dorsey's decision-making. And I think that will be something that I think will be a big change for a lot of people. What I maintain on this one, and you can Odyssey Rewind, go back and listen to the last hour. We spent the whole first hour on it, though. McVay, LaFleur, Shanahan, the people you consider to be the very best at play calling, would walk over hot coals for a mile before they would give up the play calling duties. No chance that they would do this. And so it tells me either Stefanski is defeated, Stefanski is being micromanaged. One, pick whichever one you want. But neither one is great for the long-term prospects of him either being the head coach of the Browns or trying to replace him as the head coach of the Browns. We had a caller last hour who was like, well, how about Mike Vrabel? See what Mike Vrabel's been seeing lately? Mike Vrabel watched the Haslams decide when Deshaun Watson would or wouldn't play. And now, and this is not reported news, this is just me inferring, but my belief is that they're also either Haslam or Dee Podesta. Somebody's telling them to give up the play calling duties, because no coach that thinks they're awesome at it the way that Stefanski thinks that he is, and I believe that he is, would make this move. It is the very best thing that Stefanski does as a head coach. Why would he give it up? All right, next up, Ken and Lima discuss helping a friend move.
Very strident in their comments. One guy said that he would help him pack. But either way, the city
said... Why would you do that? That seems
I
like...
I don't know.
That seems like...
He's mad. I'm sure he's a mad fan.
That is the worst thing to do. Help anybody pack. Then you got to help them move. You don't just help them pack. You actually have to go and start moving stuff.
How much pizza and beer do they have to buy?
Oh.
If you show up and help them pack.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's always like a four-story walk-up.
Yep. Every time.
Every time. In Chesterland, Ohio.
What's worse, the bill left on Deshaun Watson or the pizza and beer for the people helping him move? Which one is it? Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think of that.
And then you're sitting there with your pizza and beer in a house that doesn't even have cable yet.
Yeah.
So you're just sitting there left to talk to the people you've been talking to all day. There's no worse experience.
Who knows what the Wi-Fi signal is?
There is none. Oh, I set up my hotspot.
That's how we know that we are actually good friends. Because we haven't killed each other for the comments that we've made about each other on the air. And then I've helped you move. I haven't helped you like the whole day. Like, all right, we're going to move this, this, and this. I helped you with the mattress and a couch when you lived in the
we went to the dump
in the apartment in Tremont.
We went to the dump. Your weight belt.
And... Yeah, went to the dump. That was awesome.
I'd never been to the dump before. That was an experience.
For me, it was old hat. It was great.
He's a regular. Can I get the normal?
Lima, we were pulling in, we were backing in. Lima goes, you really know what you're doing here. I go, yeah, I've been doing it up once or twice.
Kenny, we'll just line up the usual for Kenny.
It was great.
Why am I at a dump? That seems pretty funny to me. You can't ask people to move. You hit a certain point in life, you can't ask people to move anymore. I'm 35 years old. I can't ask anyone to move. I have to hire movers if I want to move. And last time I did move, going from our downtown apartment to our house now in Solon, we just had a moving company. That's all we did. We just had a moving company. And I moved. I put things in my car, and I made a million trips. And then what I couldn't make in the trips all throughout the week, we had the moving company. And that was that. And that's just what you have to do at a certain point. Well, yeah, just And I'm by the way, I'm not a great friend. I tend to think I'm a good friend at best. I'm not a great friend in life. I know that. For a lot of people, at times I think I'm a really good friend. But for the most part, I think I'm a really good friend to... Like, is being a good friend to your wife count? Is that a thing? Like, I think I'm good to her. But I'm just not a good friend in life. I'm not a great friend in life. I think I'm a good friend. I don't think I'm a great friend. I would almost take joy in helping a really good friend move. Like, I would think that because I think it's such a hard ask. And it would be an easy way to score, like, points with friends if they've done favors for me or just in general. So I'd almost be happy to help out somebody. But it would be with the idea that I know this friend would look at it like it is a massive deal that I'm helping them do this. Because at 35, I got a large chance I'm going to throw out my back and it's not going to go well for me. At 35, there are just things that I just can't do like I was 25, okay? And so, I mean, Toby Keith wrote a whole song about it, right? It's not for me. But I like looking at this with the idea that it can go from good friend to great friend if you help somebody move at 35 or older. For sure it can. Ken got a lot of bonus points that day. There's no denying that one. All right, next up. Baskin and Phelps discuss Jameis Winston getting the nod to start this weekend. Here we go.
Ever since he went to New Orleans and sat behind Drew Brees and then became the starter, I've been thinking, I can't wait to see what this guy does when he's the actual starting quarterback of a team. And it puzzled me that they didn't put him back in when he had the opportunities in New Orleans. Because though he got dinged up, he was healthy again, and they didn't really play him again. Is that damning for him? Or is it just the way Sean Payton was going? I don't know. And then later, Dennis Allen. I don't know. But I'm curious to see what happens here. Despite the offensive line, despite the wide receivers, despite the Amari Cooper trade, despite Nick Chubb coming back from an ACL.
I'll be honest, I'll take the, at this rate for what we're seeing from the Browns offense, I'll take that 2022 Jameis Winston that only played the first three games of the season. I mean, there's a guy that it put up more than 230 yards a game at least.
He's going to be must-watch theater and nobody can deny that. He's backyard football. He's basically the crypto of the football world. Like, put your money into it if you want. It's high risk, it's high reward, but when it goes south, you might end up bankrupt. All those weekend day trader friends you have, that's what this is. We're gonna have moments that we'll think this is awesome, and we're also gonna have those moments where it feels like, oh boy, we are way off. We just bet the farm and this came up nowhere close. Jameis is fun. He's fun in the way that a cheeseburger loaded up with everything is fun. There's some regret after you take that down, even if it tasted great in the moment, okay? Like, there's going to be some regret here, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I am so excited to see how this goes involving Jameis on Sunday. Not because I think it's going to be any good. Not because I think Jameis is any good. I'm just excited from a, this is going to be entertaining. And once you just accept that that's where we're at now, we're trying to entertain ourselves with this Brown season, I think it's going to be easier for a lot of people. We're not out there thinking a win is realistic against the Ravens. We're just out there for a couple nights passes and the fact that Jameis goes Leroy Jenkins often. It's going to be fun. I promise you that. It might stink, the outcome, but it's going to be fun watching Jameis throw the football around. All right, next up. Nick told a story about one of the neighborhood kids asking for his daughter's number, and let's pick it up from there. Here we go.
My daughter's going to date. And when she does, whenever she's ready for this, I hope she has the best life in the world when it comes to that. Like, I really do. Like, that's a weird thing for a dad to say, but, like, so much of the good things in my life are because one day I woke up, stopped being an ass clown, found a pretty girl, fell in love, and then the rest is history. So, like, I do want that for my daughter. I don't want it today. All right, I'll be honest with you. And granted, it's better that it's a 13-year-old boy instead of a 15-year-old boy, because the 15, I wouldn't have had a thought. It would have been the 15-year-old's dead. Like, it just would have been an act of, it would have been, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity. Because it just, there would have snapped, I'm a big rhinoceros, it just would have been done. Curtains. And I would have had it, like, there would have been a civil suit, it would have been a hole to do. That's all I'm saying. And Vanessa, she thought it was very cute. And here's the problem. Can you not at least act like you fear me? Right? I get it. I'm a big goofy guy. If you actually know me, I'm the most harmless thing in the world. He doesn't know that yet. And so this, yeah, okay. Everybody told this story. One of the reactions is, good for him. That's really confident. No. Yeah, I mean, it is confident. Too confident. You're 13. Don't be confident. You're supposed to be confident when you're 25. Not when you're 13.
Knowing Nick the way I know Nick, he really did just want the guy to be a little scared. Just a little kid, just a little scared, you know? Like, hey, yeah, like, you should be intimidated. Why is this kid... Why does this kid have, like, the emotional bandwidth of a serial killer, where he's just like, has no fears of a dad in that instance. Every fear of a dad in that instance. You're not supposed to just be cool, calm, and collected there. Kid's going places. Kid is absolutely going places. But my big thought on dating, I don't know because I have a daughter. I don't know why everyone thinks that I would be the dad that would be like, I don't own guns, by the way, but I've had my mom tell me this. I have had my wife tell me this. I've had a lot of people in my life tell me that when it comes to dating Charlotte, my daughter, that I'll be the one that's like sitting there in the corner cleaning the gun and almost like threatening the kid. And it's like, what do you guys think I am? That's who I would be. That's not who I'm going to be in the slightest bit. But I don't know. And Nick's daughter's 14. I don't know how I will feel when that day comes and that starts being reality for me. I think I'm just going to be like, and you know, hey, have fun. But it's just a dangerous thought. It's just a bad thought in general. You want to keep her as young as she currently is forever. And so that's what Nick is dealing with. But that kid, all that kid had to do is just seem a little intimidated. In fact, go up to Nick and be like, excuse me, big, large human of a man. Can you please help me with dating your daughter? Because I just would like that a lot. And Nick might have been like, yeah, in fact, I'll set up the date for you two. Let's do this thing. But the kid, the only time in his life being cool, calm, and collected is just going to backfire on him. He's going places, though. All right, Daryl Ryder also going places, including Berea often. He goes there all the time. He was there today. He heard Kevin Savansky speak about the play calling. Was Daryl, who is the least surprised beat reporter to ever exist, was Daryl surprised that Kevin Savansky gave up the play calling duties the way that I was? He'll join us next. It's Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin here with you on The Fan.